This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. This Edinburgh International Festival, The Myth of Orpheus and Eurydice, or Orfeo and Eurydice, is coming to the stage in an opera and circus production from Opera Queensland in association with Circa. Circa, the Scottish Chamber Orchestra, and a chorus from Scottish Opera are performing the European premiere of this striking production of Gluck's opera. There is an audio-described performance at 3 p.m. on Saturday, the 16th of August, with a touch tour beforehand, and we're joined by the two audio-describers, Veronica Kinahan and Trina Gillers. Hi, Trina and Veronica. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
So let's start with you, Trina. Can you give us a brief overview of how you began working in audio description?
Well, we go back about 11 years now when I retired from teaching and looking for something to fill my time. So there was an advert in the local newspaper looking for audio describers in Perth Theatre. And my initial reaction was, what on earth is an audio describer? So I went along to find out, ended up doing the training, and here I am 14 years later, still at it. So love it. Very, very interesting. But that's going back quite a way.
Brilliant. And how about you, Veronica?
I too was a teacher and a music teacher, so I went into Scottish Opera first to shadow them, just to see what it was like, really, and basically fell in love with audio description, a bit like Trina. And yes, various experiences. I'm doing the Tattoo as well as operas this year in the Festival Theatre. And a couple of months ago, did Robbie Williams. So you never quite know what's going to come up.
For people who don't know this myth, how would you describe it? What are the key points?
Well, Orfeo is devastated, basically, by the death of his wife, Eurydice, and vows to bring her back from the underworld. He hopes that his musical talent on the lyre will appease the gods and convince them to allow her to return. And they agree to his request, but it's a very strict condition that he must not look back at Eurydice as they ascend, and it's a test of his love, and he mustn't tell her why he can't look back as well. However, of course, he does, and she is snatched back into the underworld forever, and he is, you know, left in despair, basically.
And how would you describe the opera by Gluck? How does it kind of compare to other operas?
It's a very classical opera, so it's quite short. That's the first thing. In this production, there's no interval at all. It lasts for about an hour and 20 minutes.
And that actually is one of the challenges for us also, and hopefully won't affect any visually impaired person listening, but we're going to have to choose a point somewhere halfway through the opera to shuffle. One person shuffles out of the seat with a microphone and the other person shuffles in, so that's a little bit trickier. And the other difficulty with it not having an interval is that normally the person doing the first half of the opera introduces the first half and gives a synopsis and describes sets and costumes and so on, and the person doing the second half then does the same for the second half. But this time we don't have that option. Veronica, who's doing the beginning, is basically doing an introduction for the whole thing, which is different from our normal procedure. So that's a little challenge.
And obviously something very unique about this production is the combination of aerial circus performers as well. So you've got a lot going on. You've got the score and the music, obviously, which is very important. You've got the visuals of the singers and performers, you've got the visuals of the acrobatic performance. How have you found balancing everything?
We're both smiling broadly as you said that, because it's been a huge challenge. You asked about the story of the Gluck opera. I think the first thing has to be said is that it's completely different here. It's set in an asylum, so it's not set in the classical setting at all. The chorus are singing, but they're not acting at all. They literally stand there and sing. and the aerial acrobats are doing the movement for the chorus. And the movements are so dramatic, as you can imagine, right from the overture. So one of our problems has been, where do we describe? Where do we not talk? Sometimes in normal opera, we would simply not talk quite a lot of it, actually, let the music shine through, even in the recitative. But in this case, there's so much going on that the audience will react to. So we're very conscious from the point of view of somebody who's visually impaired, what are they hearing? And they will be hearing gasps from the audience, I suspect. They'll be hearing shrieks, they'll be hearing thumps, they'll be hearing lots of things going on, which normally would not be happening on the opera stage in this very classic opera.
I think when these things are happening, as Veronica said, the thumps on the stage or the gasps from the audience, it's also happening over perhaps Orfeo and Eurydice's recitative, and they're, you know, we have to also try and slot in a translation of what they're talking about, of what they're singing about, in amongst the, oh, someone's standing on someone else's shoulders, and they drop down and they do a double somersault, and, you know, it's a whole balance, really, of what, how much do we say about that without disrupting the music too much, because many people, obviously, who go to shows like this are going for the music, which is absolutely beautiful. But the story is a little bit, the story is there, the basis of the story is there, but it's nothing like the traditional myth, as you mentioned earlier.
And what are you hoping audiences take away from this very unique, powerful production?
The beauty of the music will shine through. It is absolutely glorious. We are hoping that through our audio description, we will be able to convey some of the dynamic action that is happening on stage as well, because Circa is very, very, very famous acrobatic troupe. Fortunately for us, the costumes are very minimalist and the scenery is very minimalist as well, so that an audience would not be taking away opulence, an opulent performance with lots of fancy frills and flounces, as might be done elsewhere. Although we are doing a touch tour, there will be very little to touch, actually. Obviously, we'll be able to describe what's happening, and it's lovely to meet perhaps some of the performers. But there is very, very little to touch indeed, and the costumes are non-existent. They do exist. It's not unlike another performance they're doing in the Fringe. It's not in the nude, but it's, you know, we're talking basically body stockings and with maybe a wraparound skirt or something.
I mean, I think I would hope that any visually impaired person who has listened to the description leaves the theatre with the same sense of awe and wonderment that a sighted person will, because it is absolutely a spectacular show. Mind-boggling movement and beautiful music and lovely singing as well. So, you know, hopefully they will leave the theatre with the same sense of awe as a sighted person.
Well, thank you so much, Veronica and Trina, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about the upcoming production of Orfeo and Eurydice in the Edinburgh International Festival.
Thank you. Thank you very much.